Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 171. My name is John. The reflex is a lonely child who's waiting by the park. 2023 saw the end of two long-running animated television series that I've been hooked on since their premiere episodes. Each had surprisingly similar components taken in completely different directions and themes handled in different ways. One was set in the world of fringe science with some crazy spy stuff thrown in. The other was set in the world of fringe spies with some crazy science stuff thrown in. I'm talking about The Venture Brothers, which I'll discuss in this podcast, and Archer, which will be covered in the near future. If you haven't seen these shows, I cannot stress enough how much you need to watch them, especially if you appreciate animation made for adult humor. These are probably my two favorite animated series of all time, and I have a difficult time choosing one over the other, and often it comes down to which one I've seen more recently. There will be spoilers for some of the major plot points, so be warned if you haven't seen them. Let me quickly touch on some of the similarities of each show. Each show begins with a main character being overshadowed by his overbearing parent. Each show deals with hubris despite consistent failure. Each show had a question about the unknown parentage of titular characters that lasted throughout the series' run. Each show steadily expanded its universe with memorable characters. Each show had characters who, to varying degrees, come to accept their choices, good and bad, that they have made in the world that they were thrust into. And each show had one of its main voice actors play a guest role in the other. So, let me start with the Venture Brothers. At its inception, Venture Brothers looked and acted like a demented spoof of the old Johnny Quest cartoon from the 70s. Imagine if Johnny grew up in the shadow of his overbearing father and was unable to live up to the legacy. That is how Venture Brothers begins. There's Doc Venture, known to the world as the famous Rusty Venture, boy adventurer traveling alongside his renowned scientist father, Jonas. Rusty is now grown up, and he's nowhere near as intelligent or as motivated as Jonas, who is now deceased. And Rusty's basically living off his dad's fortune and fame. Rusty has fraternal twin sons, Hank and Dean, who are homeschooled in learning beds while they sleep at night. Learning beds are an invention of Jonas that uses outdated information and technology. The boys have almost no interaction with the outside world except when they go on minor adventures with their father, so they have no social skills. But there is a dark secret about them. Brock Sampson is the family bodyguard who goes into berserker mode whenever a threat comes at them. Most of the first season drives home Rusty's ineptitude and introduces many of the characters that play key roles later in the show. The show itself is notorious for its long stretches between seasons. The first regular season episode after the pilot was released in August of 2004. The final episode of the series was released in October of 2018. That's 14 years to get 7 seasons. And then it was almost 5 years before we got the long-promised film that wrapped up the story. And if you factor in the pilot episode, it's a total of 20 years, 5 months, and 5 days from beginning to end. Some of the things they said in the early seasons probably would have gotten it canceled had they come out in later years. That's how long it was from beginning to end. Trust me, you're lucky it's available on streaming. You don't have to wait for these gaps. The early couple of seasons seem disjointed. Sometimes an episode feels like maybe you missed something. But that's how it's meant to be. It's like picking up a comic book in the middle of a story arc. But that's okay. Fortunately, the seemingly tangled threads come together. The world soon builds and branches out, interlacing pop culture references, spoofs of various sci-fi and fantasy characters, and callbacks to seemingly minor things in earlier episodes. People who grow up in the 70s and 80s, or have an appreciation for pop culture references, should love this show. Just some of the references and spoofs that I can think of. Let's see, there's Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper, Jackie Kennedy, Roger Dean, David Bowie, Iggy Pop, Duran Duran, Barbarella, Star Wars, The NeverEnding Story, The Fly, Darkman, The Legion of Doom, Scooby-Doo, The Hardy Boys, Astro Boy, Voltron, Rocky, The Game of Thrones, G.I. Joe, Spider-Man, The Avengers, Justice League, Clash of the Titans, Buck Rogers, Star Trek, Walt Disney, The Fantastic Four, Green Hornet, Total Recall, Rocky Horror, The Manchurian Candidate, and just about every Christmas movie or TV special you can think of. Is there something I don't like about the show? Yes, Tim, Tom, and Kevin. Dr. and Mrs. the Monarch's henchmen from her early days as a villain. If that last sentence sounded really, really strange, then you've definitely never seen the show, at least not the middle seasons, and you now have a taste of how odd it can be. Tim, Tom, and Kevin were obviously created to be creepy and annoying. And that's exactly what they were. What else don't I like about the show? I don't like that it's over. I want more. I want the story to continue and be creative and interesting and outlandish for at least 3 more seasons. I think it has that kind of potential to carry on. Now, if you simply cannot abide politically incorrect language, especially if it involves talking about people with special needs, or if jokes about pedophilia are deal breakers for you, then you probably shouldn't watch the show. There's at least 3 characters on the show who are either questionable or outright confirmed pedophiles. Just remember, this is a fictional, animated show, not real life. And real life should be handled much differently and much more severely. But if you understand that a joke is just a joke, or you have thick enough skin to get past things that you consider offensive, then please give this crazy show a try. Some of my favorite characters from the show, I mentioned her earlier, Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, also known as Dr. Girlfriend, also known as Councilwoman One, also known as Queen Etheria, also known as Lady Au Pair, also known as Sheila. Of all the main characters, Sheila is probably the one that succeeded the most from where she began to where she ended. She is equal parts cunning, ruthless, brilliant, and sexy. Yes, she's voiced by a man, and that becomes a recurring joke in the early seasons, but I don't care. And yes, I know it's just a cartoon, so what? Sheila's hot. Don't make me feel weirder about it than I already do. 21, also known as Gary. I'm just going to throw him in along with Sheila because he went from the comedy relief doofus henchman to badass right-hand man. And his character got so much better as the series went along. Brock Sampson. He's voiced by Patrick Warburton. Patrick fucking Warburton. What else do you need to know? The Order of the Triad. You have Dr. Byron Orpheus, who's hilariously overdramatic, yet such a kind character, and I really enjoy watching him. Jefferson Twilight is cool as a vampire hunter, but he's not a spoof of Blade. I don't want to spoil the surprise. You gotta watch that one. And The Alchemist is absolutely fun every time they get him into the script. The kind of character that if you were a real life person, you'd just want to party with him. And then throw in H. John Benjamin, you know, the voice of Archer, as Orpheus's mystical mentor, popping up every now and then and taking the form of everything from Cerberus to Santa Claus. And you've got a winner. Pete and Billy, also known as Billy Quizboy and the Pink Pilgrim. Yeah, you just got to see that to believe it. These two characters have some of the strongest nerd credit you may ever see. How nerdy? Well, when Rusty is on the phone getting hookers, Billy asks for a special request so he can fulfill a fantasy. But when Rusty asks if they can do a costume of Hawk Woman, Billy instantly corrects him with Hawk Girl. And yes, that does make a difference. And no, I don't share Billy's Hawk Girl fantasy. For me, it would be Power Girl. Or Zatanna. Anyway, favorite episodes, at least the ones that I like most. Hopefully you like them too if you watch these. 20 Years to Midnight. Back when it originally aired, a lot of people didn't care for season 2. And at first I found it a little off-putting, maybe a step backward. But having rewatched it, and rewatched it as a binge, I think season 2 holds up just fine. I especially enjoyed this episode, from the mysterious, annoying alien to the cryptic threat to humanity. It was the first time we saw that the team could succeed if they really tried. Viva Los Muertos, another season 2 episode that gets lost by those who dismiss the show during that season 2 time frame. You have to love this episode if for no other reason than the most messed up version of the Scooby-Doo gang you will ever see, with each of the characters merged with an infamous political activist or a serial killer. Everybody Comes to Hanks. Clever, controversial, and probably my single favorite episode of the whole bunch. This episode, in the latter part of season 4, begins a stretch of excellent episodes that go all the way through to the season 5 opener. Beyond the brilliant characterization and the shock revelation, I think the reason why I love these episodes is because this is where the tone starts to shift, and I'll get to what I mean very soon. Next, Maybe No Go. There's a couple of episodes that prominently feature Pete and Billy, and I think this is my favorite, with the just abundance of pop culture references and a classic science fiction nerd debate over semantics and minutiae. And then, all of the specials. There are 4 specials throughout the series run, and of course, the movie that acts as the final episode. And each one is a gem. The Christmas special, it's fun to watch for all the references to other holiday shows. The Halloween special, a Behind the Music mockumentary, and the bridge between seasons 5 and 6 titled All This and Gargantua 2, which ends some of the long-running storylines while also setting up the final two seasons. The movie, titled Radiant is the Blood of the Baboon Heart, come on, how do you not love that name, ends the series way too soon for me. But at least we finally learn the identity of Hank and Dean's mother. When discussing the Venture Brothers with fans, invariably the discussion turns to the theme of failure, as every main character, to some extent, is a failure. Sometimes in fiction, characters who are constant failures are a good thing. I mean, Charlie Brown is probably the best example of that. An entire 50 years of a character who is a constant failure. Sometimes fans will get upset when you change what seems to be the essence of a character. I mean, Rusty goes by Doc Venture, as I mentioned earlier, but the doctorate is honorary. He's not a real doctor. Hank and Dean, they're sheltered and ignorant. Even Brock is something of a failure. He got the bodyguard gig due to professional mistakes. Many of the other characters seem destined to be set up for one failure after another. The creators recognized that and decided that's not what they wanted. And I'm very glad that as the series progressed, the characters grew and a little success occasionally came along for them. And sure, the theme of failure is something that the series hits and hits well. But I think another theme, repeating generational history, is just as strong. I recently rewatched the full series. That's part of the reason why I'm doing this now. And the thing that really hit me, and maybe it's because I'm dealing with this in my family right now, is how characters fall into the same traps as their parents. Let me explain what I mean. Near the end of season 4, Rusty tells Hank a story about being humiliated at his 16th birthday party. And I'm just going to pull a quote from Rusty's description. My father invites every girl he knows. And I'm not talking about girls my age. No. Not Jonas. He invites Playboy bunnies and models and, I think, actual whores. You know, real prostitutes. This memory stands out in Rusty's mind. How, even though it was supposed to be a birthday party for Rusty, Jonas made the party all about himself. Having a good time with his buddies. 2 episodes later, Rusty is throwing a homeschool prom for Hank and Dean. But the menu is all about what Rusty wants to eat. He then calls an escort service and brings prostitutes to his son's prom, his son's party. And when his kids do get there, Rusty ignores them the whole time. Doesn't even notice when they leave. Rusty is acting just like his father. All the worst aspects of his father. Now, yes, he does grow a little bit as the series progresses, but Rusty still has a lot of work to do because he always wants to take the easy way out or exploit others to do his work for him. But you see flashes of him beginning to become a better person as the series goes on. Dean becomes a better character when he stops trying to be what Rusty wants him to be and tries to make his own way, and so forth. Of course, even with steps in the right direction, it's easy to slip back into old habits. We have a tendency to be like our parents because they set the example of what we think parenthood and adulthood is supposed to be. Venture Brothers may be a surreal manic comedy, but it's also a cautionary tale about what not to become and to be cognizant of the behaviors of your parents that you just don't want to mimic. One of my favorite parts of the movie is when Dr. Mrs. the I'm just going to call her Sheila. One of my favorite parts of the movie is when Sheila explains that she's made mistakes and had setbacks in her life, but she makes it clear that she is not a victim. She asserts that she is proud of the woman she is, and she has the conviction to build her life on that, choosing to take that path of her own volition, not because her husband or other people are forcing her to do so. I like that. While other characters blame their parents or whatnot for their situation, Sheila finds the way to break out and be better by owning her life. So, yes, perhaps I'm reading more into this than was intended by the creators. Or maybe not. The series is known for being much smarter than it seems, but that's what's great about the show. You can appreciate the random craziness that happens, like the chupacabra that appears out of nowhere on their trip to Mexico. Or you can muse over the tapestry the characters form and ponder how the threads of your own life interconnects with others. The entire series and movie are on Max. And once again, if you appreciate animation geared for adult humor, rife with nostalgia, twists, and absurdities, then you need to see it. Go Team Venture. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.